Now, it's 1 minute past 10, and I'd like to welcome Jennifer Wilson, Dr. Jennifer Wilson O'Reilly, is it?
That's right, thank you.
That's an Irish connection, is it?
It is, yeah, true love right there. Yeah.
Is it? Oh, Wilson is your before
my
you're married.
Name.
Oh, so you're Mrs. O'Reilly.
Exactly.
God help us, Mrs. O'Reilly. That's so Irish, isn't it?
It's an honour, Mrs. O'Reilly, that's
okay.
Me.
So you're the clinical, you're the principal clinical psychologist to do with stress.
Yeah, I work with the liaison psychiatry service at Beaumont Hospital. So there's a good few psychologists in the hospital, but I work across the hospital with the liaison team.
Right, and stress is your area, is that what it is?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I work a lot with people who are experiencing a lot of stress. Most of the people I work with have physical symptoms as well, you know, that they're in and out of the hospital with. But not always. Sometimes it's just that kind of feeling of overwhelm that people get when they're feeling stressed for a long period of time.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know anybody who hasn't had that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that everybody gets. Maybe not every day, but there's stress in everything, isn't there? Everything we do?
Everything you care about. I mean, there's a researcher out of Stanford University in California, and her definition for stress is that stress is what happens when something that we care about is on the line. And I really like that definition because it's like totally destigmatizing. It's our body's reaction to something that's important to us, that we want to get right, that we care about, you know?
And is there stress for people maybe in areas that it's not that important to, say stress getting on a bus or something, going somewhere? Well, is that a different kind of stress than stress and somebody getting up and singing or speaking in public, that sort of thing? Is there a different kind of stress?
I mean, for those kind of moments, sometimes when people have experienced kind of stress over a longer period of time, their bodies can get used to that stress response, and it might flare that kind of fight or flight response, you know, where you're kind of sweaty and you're hands might be shaking a little bit and you've got adrenaline and cortisol going through your body and you're kind of hyper alert for risk or threat. That kind of firing, that kind of body response can happen when it doesn't feel like something really important. And the example that you gave, getting on a bus and that sudden kind of thought like, am I going to be able to get off this bus? Am I going to faint? Am I going to, you know, make a fool of myself? All that, that can trigger that fight or flight response that, you know, we were talking about for sure. And in those moments, I mean, that's a really good example of when stress is trying to work for us, but it's just getting in the way of what we want to do. And that's, I mean, I'm here to talk about the stress control program that we're starting in Beaumont next week. And that's a perfect kind of symptom to say to you, actually, I really need to pay attention to my stress levels.
Yeah, that's like it's an unnecessary amount of stress for what you're doing at the time, is it?
Yeah, that's a really good marker, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm imagining stress brings on creates physical things. Does it change your body in certain ways physically as well?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, like I said, that kind of instant stress reaction, that's a full body response. You know, you're just ready. And if you can picture like a caveman or whatever walking along and then thinks he sees a saber-toothed tiger. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a full body response.
That's a built-in protection thing, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, that's your body working to save you, either to fight the tiger or to run away or even to freeze so that maybe the tiger won't see you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of that stress response as well.
That's fairly understandable though, isn't it? You can understand
it's
that kind of stress, can't you?
For sure. Yeah. And if you think about like the way that we've evolved over time, I mean, you and me sitting here, we're the products of loads of cave people who actually survived those moments.
Who learned? You mean who learned that this is a good idea to get stressed?
Or had like a built-in kind of hyper-arousal, like awareness of risk. Like those are the ones that survived long enough to make...
Yes, the guys who didn't get stressed out, well, they got eaten. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Or their families got eaten or whatever. Yeah, I mean, they weren't aware of risk. So thank goodness all the people that led up to us were really aware of risk, for sure. But it can sometimes then work against us. And I think that's...
Overdo it. It can be overdone, can it?
It can be overdone. Or like, you know, it can trigger that fight or flight response for threats...
That are not bad threats. So can you teach someone? Could you... If I had some problem like that, could you teach me how to handle this before it happens? Can it be taught? Can you teach it?
Yeah, to handle it before it happens, or like...
Or knowing it's coming up, I mean, and then not get stressed out. That's what I mean.
Preparing kind of for it.
Yeah,
and then there's the whole kind of recovery period too, which people kind of think, oh, they've been through a stressful period and they just need to relax. Well, actually, paying attention to what happens during your stress allows you to recover. It allows you to kind of come down from that that fight or flight response and to understand it a little bit better, and then that allows you then to plan for the next thing.
Okay.
So this course, the course at Beaumont, this stress control course, it's based on what's called cognitive behavior therapy, which has a huge amount of research behind it. And cognitive means thinking, and behavior means doing. And it really targets how we think about stress and then what we do about our stress. And that's what this 6-week course really focuses on. So your question to me was, can you teach somebody? And the answer to that is 100%.
Good, good. Yeah, I'll be going to do that course
then.
Great.
I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Sit in the front.
Yeah. Like one of the biggest stressful things, and it's noted in everybody, is public speaking.
Yes, 100%. There's an old joke about that, that like it? On the kind of hierarchy of stressful things or things people are frightened of, public speaking is number one and death is number two.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard that.
The joke is like you'd rather be in the coffin than the person delivering the
giving
eulogy.
Giving into eulogy, yeah. I've actually heard that. I was gonna say that. So
your joke.
Sorry, joke, but it's widely used that public speaking is the biggest fear.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what somebody, without getting too personal myself, right? Yeah. The complaint is, I talk too much. But as soon as you put a microphone in my hand, or if I happen to win something in the golf club and I have to stand up and give I'm dead, finished. I'm gone.
Okay.
Which is a contradiction, isn't it? The personality contradiction. Mm-hmm. Somebody who won't show up.
Well, can I just be clear that I'm not complaining that you're talking too much?
Okay.
So maybe you're getting that.
Well, you're not trying to take a shot or anything. You're trying to concentrate here. We're just having a chat, you know?
Okay. But what you're describing is that freeze moment where suddenly you got the kind of microphone in your hand and you're looking out at the audience. And we actually use this example in stress control. And you're looking out at the audience and you have this moment of like total frozenness when your mind goes blank.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that is just so common, whether you're a talkative person before you pick up the mic or you're a quiet person before you pick up that mic. What that says is, actually, I want to do a good job, you know? And so that moment of feeling frozen allows you to actually start to get your thoughts together. The problem is when you're frozen and then you start thinking about being frozen. Does that...
Totally. It's not a case of getting my thoughts together. They're gone out the window.
Yeah.
They're gone.
But the next thought you have is like, oh, I'm making a fool out of myself.
The next thought is, give this mic back and get down out of here.
There's your...
Escape.
Your flight. There's your flight.
Exactly. Yeah, that's me.
So what you're better off doing in that moment is kind of letting yourself off the hook. Like, I don't need to make the most perfect speech in the world.
Okay.
I just need to stand up here and say what's from my heart. Like, say what's actually real.
Okay.
Not, you know, floor everybody with my wit and charm. Although, I mean, I'm sure you'd be able for that. But, like,
flattery will get you wherever.
All right, I'll take it. But it's that kind of sense of not only do I have to give a speech, I have to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
I have to be witty. I have to be charming. I have to say the most important things in the best way possible.
And you're competing with other people who give speeches all the time and who are very good. And I feel that you feel you're inadequate.
Oh.
Is that a big thing?
So
feeling
that's
inadequate,
well,
is it?
Okay, so if the feeling is fear, the thought is inadequate, right? So you're there and you've got that fight or flight response. So the emotion is like terror or nerves or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thought you have is, I'm not as good as the next guy or the next gal who's got the mic.
Well, right? this applies so even here in the station. Like, the people who've been doing it for years, they're so good, and you come on and you think, well, you know, automatically you're not as good as them, you know? So.
Yes.
This stress to build up does build up.
But those, what you're describing there are thoughts, right? And that's that cognitive part of cognitive behavior therapy. Because part of it is actually looking at those thoughts and saying, okay, like, I'm inadequate. How true is that? And we talk about on the course, like, stepping back, right? Stepping back from a thought, widening your view, so taking off the blinders is the kind of way that they say it on the course, so that you can actually take in more information rather than just, I'm inadequate, I'm inadequate, I'm inadequate, right? And then stopping for a moment to challenge the thought and say, well, am I actually inadequate? Like, what are the things that I do in my life that I'm proud of? And that you can start to balance your thinking. So you're not walking in saying, I'm the best ever. But you're also not go walking in saying, I'm the worst ever. There's got to be some kind of middle ground. And when we're in that fight or flight response, we kind of forget about the middle ground because we've got these blinders on, where when we're feeling nervous, we look for anxious thoughts.
Right.
You know, we look for evidence. So like public speaking, you might look out at the audience and you see the one guy yawning. And then you start thinking, oh, that guy's yawning. I mean, like maybe he's bored. Like maybe everybody's bored. Maybe I'm a boring person. Like I'm no good at this compared to the last guy.
Are you teaching people to build themselves up a little bit, maybe to get a bit of confidence? Is that what it is?
I mean, I think that comes from what happens on the course. I mean, there's six sessions, and
how long are the sessions?
They're an hour and a half.
So in the hospital.
In the hospital from 6 to 7:30. On Tuesday nights, you don't even have to register.
And who goes there? And that's what I was just going to say.
You don't have to register. You can just turn up. You just turn up, yeah.
What was that, Tuesday nights?
Tuesday nights starting next Tuesday.
So you just walk in the front door, that's it.
Just walk in the front door and turn left, and it's in those... there's a lecture theater there. And it's me and another principal clinical psychologist, Oren McCarthy, who people might know because he works in this area. And the two of us are doing it. So the first, and the nice thing about the stress control course is it's not like interactive at all. So some people like, you know, small groups, or they like individual kind of work. A lot of people don't want to have to be in a place where they have to reveal anything. And that's what this course is for. It's for anybody. You can turn up. You don't even have to ask questions. In fact,
so it's listening.
It's listening. It's like a lecture.
So there's no interaction between the audience
interaction.
And as many people go,
I mean, the lecture theater can hold, you know, hundreds of people.
Really?
Yeah.
How long has this course been going? And this is not the first time, is it? Repeats itself over and over again, isn't it?
Well, this is the first time we're doing it at Beaumont. So this is our Beaumont Hospital launch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where were you doing it before, Lee?
Well, I'm new to it. My colleague, Oren McCarthy, has done it in, you know, different buildings around the north side. People might be familiar. There was a crowd doing it in Malahide. They do it at the Mater Hospital as well. And the HSE is doing a big push. There's a lot of funding around making this course accessible to anybody.
Yeah.
So the whole idea is no barriers. And the reason for that is because actually a lot of people experience stressful situations. A lot of people experience what you were describing, those kinds of thoughts and feelings and emotions around not being able to cope.
I wouldn't have taught a lot of people. I would have taught everybody.
Exactly.
Everybody and every day.
Yes, absolutely.
Everything is stressful. It seems to be, especially in the modern world, it seems that we're going that way of stress, that technology is pushing us into stressful areas, because you've got to react, act, now, bang, you know, you've got to press that button before you'd walk in, and now you've got to log in. These are all stressful things, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people feel the way you're describing, where it's like things now are harder than they've ever been. And, you know, I can kind of get behind that. But I think, too, you know, we forget about the stressors of, like, historic stressors. You know, I always think about my mom. She's like, you know, born in 1942. And when she was a little girl in upstate New York, they used to have, like atom bomb drills, where they'd have to get under their desks with their little lunch boxes.
Go away.
Yeah. Oh, I swear to God. And I think, like, that's pretty stressful.
We came close to that a couple of years ago. We had iodine tablets.
Oh, I was here for that. Yeah.
What a laugh. That
was good.
What a joke.
I kept mine handy.
Well, do you still have them? Where are they? I can't find mine.
They're out of date.
God help us. That was so naive of them, wasn't it?
But my point is,
crazy.
Right?
Yeah. That's only giving us stress.
But, like, you know, so life has always been stressful. Yes, I get that. the kind of moment-to-moment kind of, you know, cell phone and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's always been hard. Like, those cavemen, that was pretty tricky for them, too. You know, things are hard. And we're physically built for stressful situations. I mean, that's why our bodies have this response. Well, it's just getting
it's another survival tool that we evolved.
Yes.
We weren't stressed when we were hanging out at the trees, probably picking the nuts off the tree. Monkeys.
For all I know, that's stressful, right? You got to like evade predators. You got to find food for the rest of your little.
And they do fight a lot up there in the trees and scream a lot.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. But I had an experience of that in Uganda one time.
All right.
Crazy experience with the monkeys carrying on between each other and fighting and charging at each other. A couple of the people in the group got between them. Wow, that was a big, this big, heavy. And he came charging down the trail, and because I'm stepping back, I knew, kind of half knew what was going to go on here.
You mean, wait a minute, you're telling me that humans got in between?
Some of the group we were with, they couldn't get close enough, you see. So they stepped in closer under the trail. I just kind of stood back and I'm watching this, and next of all, there's all screaming and banging. I could hear this noise down the trail. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. This big one came down, charging down the trail. Now they're in between the two groups. They ran through the woods. They ran into the muck. They fell on the ground. They were getting out of the way. That was stress for them.
Yeah, there you go. That's a fight or flight response right there.
They took off. Cameras everywhere. Clothes, hats gone. They were just getting out of there quick.
Did they survive?
They did. But it was so funny. I enjoy that so much. There's real stress, I suppose. Yeah.
That's awesome. So just coming back to the course.
Yeah, go on. Sorry about that. See the way I go on. Go on.
No,
sorry.
That's awesome.
Go on.
So I just want people to kind of know what they're getting into. All right. So there's six sessions. The first one is what is stress. Then we get into the details of like working with your body. Okay. So session two is like working with the physical reactions of stress. Then week three, it's around thinking. Okay, so managing thoughts, stressful thoughts, kind of what you were describing earlier. Session four is around behavior. So what do we do when we're stressed and how does stress limit our lives? So when we think about like, what are we not doing because we feel overwhelmed? Session five, there's a part of it's on panic. A lot of people experience panic. And the other part of session five is on sleep. And again, sleep can really... sleep can be tricky for people who are feeling very stressed a lot, you know, and when sleep is off, that can have repercussions for other parts of our lives.
Oh, for everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
And then the very last session is on well-being. So it's that kind of self-care, self-support, and also thinking about managing our future. So what can we adjust in our lives to give ourselves that little bit more support and care going forward? And there's... one of the nice things about this course is it's been around for a long time. Oh, yeah, you asked me that question earlier. I think it was developed in the late 80s, and it's been part of the NHS. Now, it's gone through a few iterations, but it's been part of the NHS, and now it's gone international. So there's places in the States that run it. The HSE here in Ireland, like I said before, has made a big investment in this. And the whole idea is that anybody should be able to go to this course.
Yeah, well, if it's open door and you walk in and the place holds that many people, it looks that way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I did go through a stressful, without getting too personal, but I had a technique. I found a technique.
Oh, tell me.
Well, there was this book, and I won't give the name because I didn't agree with the book, what it said and everything else. But one thing in the book was you were reading and wishing people well. You're wishing everybody around you well. So I found myself reading and reading and reading the same book over and over again. And when I'd read again, the stress would go down. I didn't understand. I still don't. All I was doing was thinking good thoughts and wishing everybody around me. Oh, I hope he does well. I hope she does well. That was part of it. That's strange. Is that a strange book?
No, that's beautiful. And I mean, what you're tapping into there is such a powerful thing because you're talking about compassion for other people and that kind of sense of connectedness. Like even if we don't know people, we're connected to them because we're all humans. And you see in kind of the mindfulness literature and meditation literature going way back, the power of wishing other people well, of noticing that connectedness and using it in a really positive way.
It gives you a great feeling.
Oh, when you, yeah.
Now, it's not... in all our nature now to wish the next guy, I hope he does better than me. It's a strange thing to do.
It can take some work.
But it worked.
Particularly if the other guy's like a little bit annoying. And then it's a big jump. But actually, there's some really good evidence for wishing people well, even if we find them a little bit annoying.
Yeah, it comes back to you almost, does it? The feeling of goodness nearly bounces off them and comes back to you. Is that
well,
it?
Well, you're tapping into something in yourself. You're tapping into that kind of compassion and connectedness in yourself. And one thing people can find even harder than that is wishing themselves well.
Yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, or like even like that kind of what I said earlier, letting ourselves off the hook, you know, that kind of sense of, you know, I really hope I'm okay. I really wish myself some wellness. I wish myself health. I wish myself joy.
A question, which just came into my mind. If you go out of your way to do good for others, does that help stress?
Yes. I mean, there's some really great evidence, again, about giving.
Giving, yeah. Well, you know, where you'd say, somebody needs something, I'll do that for you. Yeah. No problem. I'll do
this. Or like, say, volunteering at a radio station, for example.
Yeah.
Just
I think
what's here.
Well, part of that is ego, you know.
Oh, here we go.
That's ego.
You're not allowed to say, yeah, actually, I'm doing something good.
No, I think most of it is ego. Sorry, but that's what I feel. Sorry about that.
So, case in point around the self-compassion. But yes, definitely. I mean, volunteering, helping other people, there is really good evidence for that, actually lowering our own experiences of stress.
Okay.
You know, and we know it. I mean, we know that when we give out a reaching hand or a helping hand, we do feel better.
Yeah, I found that book, I just kept reading it over and over again. Ridiculous. The theory of it was ridiculous, but that part of it, it's like everything.
Yes.
It's like you get something out of everything, don't you? Like, I was a Scientologist for a very short period of time, and that's a crazy thing, Scientology. But I got something out of it. You get something out of everything, don't you?
I think it's good to approach stuff with that sense of what in this moment can I learn? You know, what can I add to my experience from whatever I'm doing right now? And I mean, what you're describing there a little bit is kind of gratitude. It's like you look at these different things that you've experienced and say, oh, you know, that was bonkers or whatever. There's this one thing that I'm actually really grateful I learned. Like, here's this book. I don't agree with it.
No.
But I'm really grateful that I learned this thing.
Well, it helped me in that situation. It's not, I didn't use it again. I don't use it all the time in my mind. I haven't read it in years.
You're not wishing me well right now, is that what you're
saying? No, well, I mean, I'm not. I'm not wishing you harm, put it that way. You know what I mean? What I mean is that I didn't keep doing it. During that stressful period of time, that's what got me through.
Okay.
But it's maybe I should go back to it.
Maybe right now you should start.
Okay, sorry about that. Oh, God help us. God help us. I think I'll go on that course, you know.
Hey, everybody should come on this course. I mean,
I think we have materials.
I think, and we've got the space. We really, you know, we want to make sure that it's the barriers are as low as possible. I mean, it's hard, you know, we're starting next week. It's midterm, you know, that's a challenge in itself. But the idea is, can you find like an hour and a half in your week to actually learn something that might help you manage your day-to-day life? What you said about stress at the very beginning is so important. We all experience it. And most of us, the vast majority of us, experience very significant stress.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, there's a really great piece of research out of an amazing research team in Dunedin in New Zealand. And it, you know, they did, I won't explain all the research here, but it's really well validated. It's an amazing longitudinal study. And really, we're looking at something like 83% of people at some point in their lives, up to the age of, I think where they are now is 40-something, could have been diagnosed at some point with a significant mental health disorder. I mean, 83% of people really struggle at some point in their lives.
But then it doesn't maintain, like it goes away.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
True. Yeah, well,
exactly.
I think everybody. Who hasn't?
I know.
Be more of the question.
17% of people in that study hadn't yet.
And another thing that gets me, right, this is contradictory. A stressful time going on holidays. It's a stressful time. I will say lately, I keep looking at my ticket. Am I the right day? Is it the right place? is it the right day? Is it the right day? Yeah. Am I supposed to be at the airport today? And it's over and over again. That's as I get older. That happened to me more frequent. Is it? That's a stressful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's just checking. Just checking. Am I getting it right? Am I getting it right? Am I getting it right? I think people can really relate to that, particularly if it's something important. Like
getting on the plane.
Exactly.
That's very important if you're going somewhere, isn't it?
Exactly.
Helps.
You know, and only yesterday I was like, I should check what time I'm supposed to be in that. And actually, I'd had it wrong in my diary, so it's a good thing I checked. So every once in a while, we're rewarded for checking.
Okay, so that's that's normal stress.
Yeah.
We should take that. People go on holiday should just take that as part of the...
Yeah, it has meaning for them.
And don't get stressed out. Sorry.
But when you notice that... No, but that's really important. That's an important point you're making, is like when you notice yourself doing something like that...
Right.
Don't say to yourself, what's wrong with me that I'm checking my ticket all the time?
Okay.
Do you know? I mean, because that adds a whole another layer of the kind of self-doubt and stress and frustration.
Right,
sure. I feel
it. Okay. Okay. Now, I know you have to be somewhere else.
I do.
You gave me the... But it's been fantastic talking to you.
It's so great. Thank you.
You know, and it's really good. And I think people, I would encourage people to go on that course.
Oh, definitely.
So we will read it out later in the program.
Oh, thank you.
And then get other people, you know, during the week to just remind people.
Terrific. And we'll see you all there next Tuesday.
So Jennifer Wilson.
Mrs. O'Reilly.
O'Reilly. Gee, wow. Give me a break, Mrs. O'Reilly, with that accent. You know, must go down great in America, does it?
Oh, sure.
What's your name? Mrs. O'Reilly. You're supposed to talk like me when your name is Mrs. O'Reilly. Look, thanks very much for coming in. It's been a great chat. Yeah, it's enlightening. Hopefully other people got something out of it.
I hope so.
Jennifer, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Thank you.